Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started here this morning. Lord, I do thank you for the privilege of looking into your word, especially as we look at the teachings that you gave us when you were here. Lord, what a joy it is to just sense your heart and understand what you have for us. Lord, would you guide and direct now in Jesus' name? Amen. Well, it's a wonderful thought. Whenever you may feel a little overwhelmed, to realize that the overriding desire of God is to bless you. So, what's His will for you today? Have a day full of blessing. Now, we may interpret blessing a little differently, but that is God's will for us. And if you believe that, you will live with an appropriate biblical sense of optimism. You're naturally a pessimist. You need to re-alter by the grace of God your thinking. Because, yes, we will have trials. Things will go wrong. That's all part of life. But when you're walking with God, every day will be a day in which you'll experience blessing. And if you truly believe that, it gives you a lift to your soul and a faith that will get you, frankly, through anything. And it's very important. But, you know, many Christians really have this idea that God just doesn't want to bless some people, especially them. Well, that is an improper view of the Scripture. It's a wrong view towards yourself. And frankly, it's a bit of an affront to God, because that's not the God that we serve. God never does anything unkind or anything that's not for our good. He always does that which is for our good. A proper theology of God, you've heard me say this, is a huge help. Having a daily practical life of optimism and faith. You can trust your God. You can trust your God. You're okay today. No matter what you're bearing today, you're okay. God's in control. He's going to use it. You're not out there with him. If you're in rebellion against him, you're even okay because he's going to deal with you. It'd be a whole lot better if you weren't. You can trust him. So with that theme in mind, we've looked at Psalm 1, the introduction to the Psalter, the Psalms, which is blessed is the man. And now we're looking at the Beatitudes, the blessings in Matthew chapter 5. This is the preface of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. This is the introduction of the spiritual kingdom to the Jews. This was a very shocking address, because they didn't want a spiritual kingdom. What do they want? A political overthrow of the Roman Empire, and they wanted back to Solomonic glory is what they wanted. So they had a very earthy, improper, self-centered view of what blessing is. And the Beatitudes really do change our thinking and our definition of what blessing is. And they form the heart cry, or what should be the heart cry, of someone that puts the Lord first. What does kingdom mean? What do you have to have if you have a kingdom? You have to have a king. You got to have subjects to the king. Okay? So that's what we're talking about here, a spiritual kingdom. This is acknowledging he's king, not me. I'm the subject, he's the king. Okay? And he's got a purpose for this day, and I am thrilled to say, yes, Lord. I trust him, and he's the king, and I cannot wait to be able to carry out his will as his subject. So this was revolutionary, and frankly, as I mentioned before, the disciples, as much as they understood he was the Son of God, they were truly saved except for Judas. They had some understanding, but what did they ask about just before the ascension? When is the political kingdom coming? And the Lord says, not for you to know. I mean, it was a really blunt answer. No, that's not it. I mean, I've given you the commission. That's what I've done for 40 days, basically. And, of course, they got it once the Holy Spirit empowered them. So interesting. And, you know, we're all the same boat. We're all like the disciples. You know, we think blessing is our way. We think blessing is good circumstances. We think blessing is having our dreams realized. Now, God wants to give us good things. He has visions and dreams for us that are real. but it's so often self-centered. So we have to get out of the political kingdom into the spiritual kingdom concept. So the mountain is filled with people wanting to hear about the overthrow of Rome. In verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Two problems with this first one that we've looked at for a couple weeks. The word poor means poverty. And it wasn't the kingdom of here, it was the kingdom of heaven. So already, this is a direct confrontation to their wrong thinking. Now, let me say this here, since we're moving to the second beatitude, that the beatitudes clearly form a progression. As one ancient preacher said, it's a golden chain with links. And I agree with that. You are saved by having a heart that admits that I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. That's what it means. Abject poverty spiritually. In other words, I can't impress God. I don't have anything to do. I am totally bankrupt. I have nothing to give God to cause him to bless me in and of myself. Now, he loves me. He created me. And of course, we know that he died for me. I am of value to him because of him. But I am not valued him because of my actions. My actions prove that I am a rebel by nature and I'm a sinner. Okay, that's what it means, abject poverty of spirit. Those get saved. Those get the kingdom of heaven. That's how you enter in to that kind of, to becoming a citizen of heaven. I trust all of us are here. You will not come into the kingdom of heaven your own way. Not come into it by religion, you will not come into it by works, you will come into it as a humble sinner saying, I need a Savior, Jesus died for us on the cross. And so that's the beginning, that's the open door, and that's how we stay, by the way, in the right position. And that leads us now to another shocking beatitude. I really want you to look at these from the eyes of the people there, and even our own eyes, if we're so used to it, we've quoted it and so forth, that it becomes nice. You see it in beautiful calligraphy on the walls, and oh, it's all so beautiful. Look at the next one. Blessed are they that mourn. Wow. This is really getting going from bad to worse here. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Poverty of spirit, poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. I'm sure. I wish I could. I'm sure there is a divine video. Of some of this, I'd love to see the looks on the faces of the people as Christ taught. I mean, they were scratching their head. What did this mean? Now, this is not hard to understand, folks. But as we're going to see in a minute, this is a key to continual spiritual growth. This is the open door for the saved person. It is the evidence that we are living with an acknowledgement of our poverty spiritually. Let me say that again. The mourning is a constant evidence that we are living with the reality of our poverty spiritually. What this is, and this is not bad, folks, this is a huge key. You don't need to be afraid of it. It's not negative. It is staying in the position of honesty and humility before God. Mourning is because we are aware of something that makes us sad. Or broken is a better word, okay? And that's why some people, when they come to the Lord, will cry. Because they realize they've offended the holy God and that he loves them, he's going to save them. I mean, the mourning starts right there. Not necessarily talking about tears. We are talking about realization of who we are and who God is. We all protect ourselves. Some of you are a little more emotional than others, but you know, for some it takes quite a bit to cry. But I'm telling you, you get shocking news about the loss of someone that you love or some situation that's major. Realize the facts. This bad. By the way, you have to cry. You'll die. You know, God has given us that glorious protection. you probably have noticed after some of the hardest things you've ever heard, and you wept your heart out, that you actually felt decent afterwards, instead of being, your blood pressure didn't go through the roof. But it was a great protection for you to cry your heart out, because it was God's way of helping us face reality. So when we come under deep conviction, we should have a sense of mourning that we have offended the Holy God. And what I want to say is this: in the spiritual development of our lives, there will be periodic times in which the Spirit of God, through his conviction, or even allowed circumstances, brings us face to face with who we are. And if you get nothing else from this morning, I want you to get this. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of the cleansing, of mourning over how bad we really are and how great he really is. I'm not talking about introspective, hopeless type of a mourning. I'm talking about God-inspired, Spirit-empowered awe. Has anybody ever done that? Any of you ever cried about your sin? I hope all of you have. It may not be tears. I would suspect no problems. There have been times it just hits. I've offended God. This is bad. So he's saying this is a blessed state. It is. Do you realize how hard it is for people, especially in the modern world, to live in reality? We live escaping all the time. We live moving, watching. We can't face ourselves. We can't stand to be quiet. Do you realize that meditation and aloneness is an unknown art for most people? We're afraid to be alone with ourselves. Because if we really are long enough, we're going to mourn. Okay. Not the right way either. So we need to realize that one of the great comforts in the Christian life is to know that we can face the realities of who we are, who God is, our inadequacy, and realize just what life is all about and it not throw us. We can mourn in an edifying way. We can mourn in a constructive way. And we can be able to face real deliverance because we're brought to an honesty, and then we're able to realize God. That's what salvation is all about. He needs a name. Just before a person gets saved, they feel very lost. Just before a Christian gets right with God, they feel very bad. And then does he always forgive? Absolutely. Does he always restore? Absolutely. Is there not blessing right on the other side of confession? There is, you see. And so you begin to realize, this is something I don't need to run from. This is good. And the mature Christian, on a all-the-time basis, lives with this realization, but comfort in the course of a godly head in the second part there. Now, another thing I want us to look at here, it is an evidence that you're growing in the Lord, or the doctrinal term sanctification. A person who is getting closer to the Lord is more acutely aware of their own need. Again, not in a self way, but in a reality way that has a wholesome attitude with it. Have you noticed that some of those godly people you know are not afraid to tell you they're weak? Have you noticed that? I'm not trying to prove anything. They've come to the conclusion I have nothing to prove. I want a godly testimony. I want to show you what God can do. But if it's about me, I'm just like you. We need the Lord. Folks, we're a bunch of sinners that deserve hell, but without God, we're nothing, right? Isn't that an exciting thought? We don't like that, but it's true. But it's okay. You know, it's very interesting. You ladies are far more prone to be open. You know, it's far more easy. Times for tears and so on and so forth, just the way you're relational. Men, and their friends, you know, they don't want anybody to get behind their armor. You know, it's very interesting. That's why get your husband in a small group Bible study. It is really good. Because what happens is they begin to trust the men, and the barriers begin to go down, And it's a wonderful thing to hear men just unafraid to be honest, unafraid in an appropriate way to say, I need the Lord. Would you pray for me this week? This is my I will statement for this week. And you know, you can just all of a sudden, when a man does that, you can just see him start to grow. And the benefit for the wife is, they'll transfer that to you, being a lot more real, open, and transparent. It's a problem. Men really do hide behind the mask, right? It's a very tempting thing for the male species to be involved in. You look at the Apostle Paul. When he wrote the book of Romans, he had been in the ministry for some years now. He had started many churches. He was an apostle of great power and blessing. He was writing scripture, and he writes Romans chapter 7. In his humanity, he was in a mess without the grace of God. He was saying, even in his natural humanity, he had a heart for God, wanted to do right. But if he was just depending upon himself, what would he still do? Sin. Then he ends that by saying, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? What a shocking statement from probably the best Christian on earth at that time. And yet he says in the next verse, I thank Christ Jesus my. He lived in Christ, but he knew himself. He knew his propensities. He knew the temptations that he faced. And he wasn't afraid to say, I am poor in spirit. I don't have anything to offer God. Oh, wretched man that I am, but I thank Christ Jesus my Lord. And he mourned. This is one of these things, if you really want to know God, you've got to be willing to be under conviction a lot and see that as a friend. People that really value their own life more than knowing God run from conviction. Those that value God more than life itself run to conviction. Want to know God. Want to have the grace of God in life. Want to be a glory to God. Not afraid of the morning. In fact, a Christian who's really growing, that will be an experience that they bring on themselves every day in their devotions, and are not afraid of it. Knowing in and of themselves or in spirit, I don't have it. But God does, and I can't apply grace if I don't know where I need to apply grace, which means I'm going to be broken about things at times. This is spiritually discerned, isn't it? Not a popular message. This is where the Lord started, with the multitudes. By the way, he did end with the multitudes. He was one of those great evangelists that had the great crowds at the beginning and then a much smaller crowd at the end. Because they wanted their bellies filled, they didn't want their heart changed. And a lot of true born-again believers go to church to get something, but don't want to be changed and brought into the presence of the Lord. And are afraid of the Lord. Really true. Now, another point here is that there is the fact that there will be spiritual pressures that make these things real. We need to not run from the trials, but count it all joy, as James 1 said. The sweetest times in your life are when you're going to need God the most and when you see yourself as needing the most. That's when he will be the most personally blessed to you. Let me just read, you can turn there, read several verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul talks about this. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, in our trials, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Notice the emphasis, comfort, comfort, consolation. Which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also of the consolation. Wow, that's the opposite of normal thinking. We often think of this just from the simple trials. There are certain people that my wife and I immediately will have an input. Somebody will tell me, my son was just diagnosed with a brain tumor. I'll say, I've been there. Oh, really? What happened? And immediately, I'm able to comfort. Because I have had comfort. And I had comfort during it. And they listened. Or whatever it is that maybe you've gone through. Some of you dear ladies have lost babies, or not been able to have children. It's beyond what any man can ever understand. That here comes another lady, and they're just suffering in that. They find out you went through it, and immediately, boom, you've got a ministry that's glorious because you've been through that. Now, this goes deeper, however. That's part of it. He's actually speaking of the trials that we face. And by the way, do not waste those trials you have had. They are a great blessing to other people. In fact, the more you are used of God to use the trial you have, the more it will be seen as a blessing to you. You will revel in it as much as you may still hurt about it. That's one of the great joys of life. But that leads me to the fact that what we find here is that we can come in life, or we can go through life realizing that we have a really major problem that's called self. And it's really bad. We're saved by grace. Praise the Lord. We are now a new man. That changes the entire equation. But we still have the flesh. But we are now in our spirit, righteous and holy, which changes everything. And the Holy Spirit is able to indwell us because of that. So now we're on the victory side. But we've got to understand, we've got this flesh, this body of sin, that is always going to be pulled by the world and just tempted to think inwardly and for our own benefit. If we love God and want spiritual blessing and want the blessing of God for our children and our lives, and we really want to be a glory to the Lord, then we will embrace trials that expose our self-centeredness and draw us to God. You no longer fear trials. You accept them when they come, as hard as they may be, because you realize my ultimate desire is to know the Lord. And I know this is going to be a blessing. So you're able to count all joy, as much as it's not easy sometimes. But it changes life. Instead of avoiding trials, you can immediately praise God for trials. And it just takes fear out of your life. You know, I remember, it's really interesting, the thing I feared the most as a kid, it's the weirdest thing, because I didn't realize I had sinus headache troubles. Back then I lived out west in the dust and the dryness, and I remember I'd be out riding my horse and working on the range, and I get these excruciating, here I have the sun, and of course I'm wearing a cowboy hat, and all the dust and the dryness and the height, the altitude, we're at 8,000 feet, and I thought for sure I had a brain tumor. I thought I'm going to live past 11 or 12. I'm a dumb kid, fears, I soon forget about it, get back in the house and have lemonade or something, but it's so interesting, I faced a brain tumor, not to myself. But you realize there's no fear that you really need to have more fear of, even death, because God. And if you really want to know Him, and you want to be free of self, and you want to grow the Lord, all of life is a blessing. Bad, good, whatever. You really can have a wholesome view. Listen, if you live with fear and wake up in the morning worried about what's going to happen next, you've got to understand, that's not a healthy way to live. God's not given us a spirit of fear, and it means that you're still, as much as you may have a heart for God, you're still more aware of yourself than you are. And God will take that fear away. And something bad happened today, yeah, God. And I tell you, the more kids you got, the more chances for problems. You just ask for troubles having kids. One's bound to fall down and break a leg somewhere, you know, or they're going to do something dumb, and they're going to embarrass the life out of you at some point. I mean, you just got built-in troubles, folks. They're called kids. And then you got a husband. No. It's all packed into one there. And all of these things. And so it's so sad if life is trying to just protect ourselves and make it all glory. If God is our life, Christ who is our life, we looked at that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, Christ who is our life, if that's a reality and we realize that we need to be broken to self and boom, here comes the trial, this is going to be good. It's hard, I'm crying, but I trust my God. Wow, that makes life. He gives it quality beyond, the world cannot even begin to understand that kind of life. That's why, folks, the older you get, you're not afraid. You know that they're inevitable trials, but it's okay. It's all about God. You just have a comfort and joy in your heart that's from the Lord, because He is the blessing. And that leads me now to the latter part. I've used the word over and over. Blessed are they that mourn. Say the last part with me. They shall be. They shall be. They shall be. It's a guarantee from the bank of heaven. God Almighty said it. It is absolutely true. You can bank on it today. If you mourn because you're aware of your sin, you realize what God's dealing with, guess what happens? You've got Jesus made real to you. What comforts your little child more than anything when they're hurt? You. Even Dad doesn't like me. It's the funniest. I remember that, you know, I'd pick up a child after they scraped themselves a little bit. Mom is sitting there, they're leaning over, they want Mama. And the word comfort does have that kind of there's just something about it. I remember even as long back as it was, there's just something about being held by Mama. You know, and just that kiss from Mother, and all of a sudden the kid jumps off the lap. You know, if it's with Dad, they'll keep crying. Sit on Mom's lap, she kisses her on the arm, and they're all playing again. They're comforted. It was the person. It isn't even maybe, well, you know, not a scrape or something, you put a Band-Aid on. Nothing had to be done except, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, hello, you tussled the hair a little bit, you kiss on the cheek or on the arm that got hurt, and because you love them. Right? And all of a sudden, you are bigger than the pain. See, that's what life is. Jesus is our life. He is joy. He is peace. He is purpose. You're made for Him. We are His bride. He is our groom. Marriage is just a little picture of the depth of love and the kind of relationship He wants with us. So, and all of a sudden we're brokenhearted through whatever circumstances, and we realize how we failed the Lord or whatever, and we ask Him to forgive us. You are very aware, if I can use this respectfully, just like with the mama, I have had times where I've just felt the enveloping love of Christ. And you know what? It's okay. I'm comforted. Because now I'm right with God. He loves me. He's going to empower me, and I can trust Him. And these circumstances have brought me to this. We're good because I got right with God. And I tell you what, when you're comforted spiritually, nothing can bother you. That's all I'm saying.
Eternal God,
it's like refuge and
relief.
Everlasting arms. Oh, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And when will the ultimate comfort come? You see Jesus. Folks, we have it made. We just have it made. You have it every day, and you'll have it for eternity. And every bad circumstance is to wake you up that you're more selfish than you thought you were. And that's good. And you realize, oh, Lord, thank you for this trial. I don't like the trial, but oh, Lord, I have failed you. I've been so weak. I've been reacting. Lord, would you forgive me? God will comfort you.
got him back.
That's all you need. You see, when you begin to wake up in life that all I need is Jesus, you've now found out about what life is. And he will then empower you to do all kinds of things, but he is the central focus of your life. So, these are wonderful beatitudes, but it's not exactly what people think when we talk about the blessed life, is it? The blessed life is his life. And it is blessed. Okay, I need to finish up here. We have table time next year. Yes, a little bit. Why don't we just have a little testimony time among your tables? Any of you have a testimony when God ever used a trial to bring it to him? Anybody have a testimony? Share it, it's appropriate. And then talk about how God comes. Sometimes we just need to brag on it.